It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, April 26th, 2009.
Only FDC will not catch me, for I am quite elusive. Don't care what they say, I'm still a DJ. My life to live. I transmit our song. They say that it's wrong, 'cause I never paid them the dough. So curse ye, scallywags, you'll never take away my pirate radio.
I am Ragnar Danisjold, and you have once again found the Pirates Week, a show dedicated to pirate radio, concentrating on the shortwave spectrum, but we do cover all areas of free media and pirate radio. We have a couple pirates in the news stories this week, including a raid in Germany of a shortwave pirate, and a continuing FCC action against a Milwaukee FM pirate, and also some news around the blogosphere. We're going to go through some relevant forum posts on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and Note Stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. Got a few off-air recordings for you this week, and actually something really special towards the end of the show that you really don't want to miss. It's an interview with the one and only George Zeller. And then we're going to close it up with some closing thoughts from me, so stay tuned. It's a Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Wow, hey, it's great to be back. Actually, I've been gone for the last day. I lost power for almost 24 hours yesterday. Electron pressure just returned a couple hours ago, and I really didn't think I was going to get to do a show today, but hey, the lights came back on, the computer access returned, and all is back to normal here around the studio. But I did want to thank all the pirate ops that were on Saturday night. Man, that was really cool. I do have the logs written down here somewhere. I had to pull out the old pencil and pen, start writing down logs. Hey, when your power goes out for your entire city, man, the noise floor really drops out. You really get to learn just how much electrical interference you have. Had the Drake SW8, which thankfully is it's a nice little Drake. It's a tabletop set, but it is battery powered. Takes 6 D cells, and got that going, hooked it up to the antenna, which did not come down in the storm that came and knocked out all our power, but I was able to really do some great DXing Saturday night with no interference whatsoever. I remember writing down a whole lot of fours and fives, man, as everything was booming in last night. I want to thank all the pirate ops, because without them, I would have just been sitting quietly in the dark with the dog, which is not good. Anyways, hey, continuing on. Hey, want to throw a shout out there to Cosmic Debris. 300th episode of Lumpy Gravy is coming up. That's going to happen Saturday, May 2nd, 2009 at 6 p.m. Eastern U.S. That's 2200 UTC on Worldwide Shortwave Radio, WBCQ 5110, Area 51, and also joined an hour later on WBCQ 7415. That's the 300th episode of Lumpy Gravy going out to Cosmic Debris. Hey, we got a whole bunch of really cool stuff to get into. Got some pirate in the news stories. Let's get into pirates in the news.
Pirates in the news.
Well, like I said, we have a couple news stories. The first one up, last week, the Euro pirate Radio Dr. Tim was raided. And this information is actually being translated from German. So as I understand it, Radio Dr. Tim Studios were raided Sunday morning, April 19th, by the representatives of the PTT, kind of like the FCC here in the United States. They showed up on his doorstep with the assistance of the local police sometime between 0900 and 1000 UTC. The officers, like I said, were waiting for him on his doorstep with the legal papers in hand to search his residence and his car. The station was operating on 6286 kilohertz and has been observed in the past being active on 6295 kilohertz. Miscellaneous equipment was confiscated, among them some transmitters, modulators, crystals, and a homemade antenna tuner. Also seized were various folders with QSL tickets, receipts, and receiving reports on computer disk. Well, I have spoke, emailed back and forth with Dr. Tim. He wishes to thank everyone who has sent him well wishes. Raids in Europe are more common than here in the United States, but as you can expect, Dr. Tim was a little shook up after having the authorities waiting for him when he returned home. You can check out the Dr. Tim website. I'll have links on the show notes. It's www.freeradio.de/DRTIM/WordPress. Like I said, I'll have links in the show notes. You can also find links to the news group that he manages for the Dr. Tim newsletter. And hopefully, Radio Dr. Tim will be back on the air soon. Hey, just an aside on that news story, note that they confiscated some computer disks and folders with QSLs and contact info that they collected off of Dr. Tim. This should be a warning to any pirate operator with a sensitive information lying around their shack, such as contact info for other pirate operatives, real names or addresses. Ooh, stuff you don't really want to have lying around. Personally, I only have listener info lying around here at the Pirates Week headquarters, but if I had any info that would be of interest to anyone, I probably would put it on a USB drive with strong encryption. Just saying, you know what I mean? And another news story, this one coming in from the AR Newsline. Alleged unlicensed broadcaster fined $10,000 by the FCC. We actually have been following this news story of the FM pirate in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a while, but there has been some new developments. This from the AR Newsline.
The Federal Communications Commission has affirmed a $10,000 fine issued against Stephen A. Skalecki of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This for allegedly operating an unlicensed broadcast station and failing to heed FCC warnings to take it off the air. Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has the rest of the story.
The story goes back to March 25th, 2006. That's when FCC agents observed a radio station broadcasting on 92.9 megahertz and located that the station was operating from a single-family residence in Milwaukee and that Skalecki lived there. The agents took field strength measurements and determined that the signals being broadcast exceeded the limits for operation under Part 15 of the Commission's rules and therefore it required a license. An agent searched commission databases and found no evidence of a commission authorization for this operation on 92.9 megahertz in Milwaukee. Later that day, the agents knocked on the front door, but there was no response. Before leaving, they wrote up a notice of unauthorized operation and left it between the inner and the outer doors. It directed Skalecki to terminate operation of the unlicensed station immediately. As a follow-up, the FCC sent a registered letter to Skalecki with the same demand. The return receipt from the U.S. Postal Service shows that Skalecki signed for and received the notice on April 24, 2006. Then on May 6, commission agents again traced the broadcasts on 92.9 megahertz to Skalecki's residence. They again tried to talk with those in the home but received no response. On May 10, the Chicago office received a response to the notice of unauthorized operation issued to Skalecki. In it, he denied having any broadcast equipment and also stated that no local broadcast can be heard on 92.9 megahertz. Skalecki also acknowledged receipt of the notice left in the front door by commission agents on March 25th. On March 1st, 14th, 24th, as well as May 28th of 2007, commission agents again traced the broadcasts on 92.9 megahertz to Skalecki's home. On December 14, 2007, the Chicago field office issued a notice of apparent liability for forfeiture to Scalecki in the amount of $10,000 for operating radio transmitting equipment on the frequency 92.9 MHz without a license. In his response to the proposed fine, Scalecki again denied operating an unlicensed station. He did admit that he operated a weather monitoring station from that property, but claimed that an unlicensed broadcast station was reporting from another nearby residence on which the several antennas were located. On March 13th, the FCC rendered its decision on the Scalecki response. It said that it would not cancel the proposed forfeiture based on Scalecki's claim that he was not operating an unlicensed broadcast station from his home. It said that the only evidence Scalecki provided in support of his claim is a list of 9 dates on which he states he observed a station operating on 92.9 MHz from a nearby residence. But the FCC countered that it had determined that the signals were coming from Scalecki on those dates. The FCC also rejected Scalecki's claim that it could not assess a forfeiture because agents were unable to conduct an inspection. The FCC says that whether or not agents were able to inspect the station does not affect its determination here that Scalecki violated Section 301 of the Act based on the direction-finding evidence collected by its agents. It said that even if he did not personally operate the station, that Scalecki is responsible for its unlicensed operation because he provided the facilities used in its operation. As such, he is required to pay the fine. The Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
The FCC gave Scalecki the customary 30 days from the date it issued its forfeiture order for him to pay the $10,000 fine. He also has the option of filing an appeal.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Well, it's time now to take a look around the internet for some relevant forum postings on pirate radio, starting off like we always do with the free radio network frn.net/vines. N52W113, that's 52 degrees, 113 degrees west. Gonna have to look where that is. Anyways, he uses his first post on the FRN asking about a jammer on 6925, noting that SSTV is being aired over music programs. Beans replies that it seems that about 3 years ago, the active pirates got their heads together and decided to stop using 6925 for slow scan television. It was a good idea at the time and seemed to be working up until recently, so now there's apparently a newbie who has no ears and can't hear who's on the air slamming his SSTV signal on 6925 every chance he gets. Bean sums up that too bad he missed the meeting. Yeah, you gotta be really careful on throwing out your SSTV or slow scan television out onto 6925. There's a lot of operators that like to use 6925 for audio programs. The excellent thread The Radical started last week continues on. The Radical started out asking about shortwave portables and the Kato KA11 to be specific. The thread has morphed into a great read for anyone in the market for a new portable. Rockin' Rick has chimed in with his love of the DX398. He notes it's not as sensitive or immune to noise like the modern DSP tabletop radios or even an SDR, but for a compact portable, it's very good. He says it handles highs and low signals very well. He also says he performed the anti-chuffing modification. He slowed the AGC and tweaked the oscillators. He highly recommends doing these things. It makes the listening experience, especially on single sideband, much nicer. He also changed the white LEDs out for the display. He's a Rocking Rick has supplied a link for these modifications if you want to do them yourself. That's on the modifications on the DX398. Taking a look also on the FRN, there is the obligatory shaved monkeys. And from the Free Radio Weekly number 689, dated April 25th, 2009, covering free radio activity from April 18th to the 24th. Stations being heard on the shortwave bands this last week include The Voice of Chaos, Psycho Radio, The Voice of Spike, Radio Jamba International, MAC Shortwave, Wolverine Radio, Radio Gaga, WBNY Radio Bunny, Liquid Radio, WEAK Week Radio, Channel Z, and finally, Balls to the Wall Radio, all being heard on air this last week. And from across the pond, Greg Majewski caught Mystery Radio on 6220 AM, April 18th. Nice to make the hop across the Atlantic for the Euro Pirate Mystery Radio. Hey, and we do have a note from the editors of the Free Radio Weekly. If you're using a spam filter to control your electronic mail, please enter the four editors' addresses as if you want to get the Free Radio Weekly. With the number of subscribers of the Free Radio Weekly, it's really not possible for the editors to go to the websites and enter required information. I know a couple of the subscribers of the FRW, to get around their spam walls, make you go to a website and put in your information just to get your mail to be delivered to somebody. And really, with all the people that subscribe, that's really not possible. So you may want to just go ahead and enter all of the editors onto your spam programs if you want to continue to get the Free Radio Weekly. Hey, taking a look at the stations that have been sending out QSLs this last week. Stations, The Voice of Chaos have been sending out some QSLs. Also, Barnyard Radio, Blue Ridge Radio, and Radio Josephine, all stations being sending out QSLs this last week.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, let's get into some off-air recordings. Lex dropped off these first two on the Pirates Week drop, which is always appreciated. That's drop.io/Pirates Week. Lex down in Texas with his Pilestar R30C with some magnet wire strung around his ceiling caught KPR 6925 upper sideband the 21st of April around 1400 UTC. KPR IDs with the As We Rock the Rockies slogan and a bunch of laughter. Lex goes on to say it's an unusual time of day for him to hear anything on 6925, so if indeed KPR is to his west in the Rocky Mountains, that may explain why he's hearing KPR when other folks who usually gets much better reception from other pirates aren't hearing it. So, yeah, Lex is thinking maybe KPR is actually rocking the Rocky Mountains. Take a listen to KPR. Lex also dropped off Dead Cat Radio, 6925 upper sideband, 0600 UTC, the 25th of April. This is the sign-off of Dead Cat Radio with the ID in Morse. Take a listen to Dead Cat Radio. Sealord down in Florida using a Tentec RX340 caught Radio Josephine 6925 upper sideband the 26th of April. This is the sign-off of Radio Josephine at 0217 UTC.
says it. It's hard to believe this is our third show of Radio Josephine.
But it is. Show number three, broadcasting from the big city. One more time, email address is radiojosephine@gmail.com. Until next time, adios, amigos.
The Pirates Week Podcast. Your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Boy, did I screw up. Swing and a miss. I actually whiffed it on this one. A stellar interview happened a couple weeks ago right here in our own little radio family, and I missed it. And I'm going to rectify that today. The week before Easter on Area 51, WBCQ Area 51, the one and only George Zeller sat down with Cracker on Radio Jamba International and talked about, among other things, pirate radio. So I'm going to let this interview roll, but this has been edited for time. Take a listen to Cracker and George Zeller.
Well, here we are, sitting here, casually, in the Club 32, with Mr. Zeller and another guest, Old DXer. And we're just sitting here, chilling like a villain in the Club 32. How about you? Any thoughts, George?
When things are this glum, I think you need stuff like pirate radio to take people's minds off their difficulties. And we certainly have guys doing that. In fact, let me say a few words. I did drive down to Columbus today and talked at the NASA chapter meeting. And we did discuss some of the activity that we've been seeing nowadays. And it's just incredibly amazing to me the degree of creativity we're seeing out of completely amateur pirate radio operators. Now, you've got radio stations all over the country struggling to survive themselves right now, but all of them have been bought up by three or four companies, and a lot of the creativity that we saw formerly was gone. Now here we're just listening to some Zappa. We had some B-52s on here before, but you got a lot of stations doing creative stuff of that nature, and probably the best guy on right now, in my opinion, is MAC Shortwave. That fella's obviously got some radio experience. He's got a bunch of canned car jingles, and it's just like listening to old-time Top 40 radio. And so something like that is very creative. And we just recently heard a lot from Bram Stoker up at Radio Azteca. And you see some of the guys trying to be funny on TV, like David Letterman or Jon Stewart. Bram Stoker doesn't have a second candle to hold to any of those people. So you have people just sitting in their basement or backyard and producing extremely clever stuff on the pirate radio bands right now. And, of course, some of it gets relayed here on BCQ, but a lot of the stuff isn't relayed there, so it's very worthwhile for anybody listening to stick their radio on 6925, especially on the weekends, or especially on this holiday weekend as soon as we're off the air. Turn your radio down there to 6925 and see who shows up this weekend for Easter. And I've already left off probably the main force in pirate radio today, Commander Bunny over at WBNY, the voice of the Rodent Revolution, an excellent clandestine radio parody. So what we definitely want to do is make sure that we call your attention to the fact that you're going to find entertaining programming on most of the pirates.
It's obscure.
Yes, and it's the kind of thing you certainly don't hear on commercial radio nowadays, and that's what's important, is that the listeners be entertained. After all, if the stuff's not worth listening to, people won't listen to it. In fact, if this show tonight isn't worth listening to, people will turn it off. I mean, that's the nature of radio. And so it's very important that we keep the movement going, I think, even though it's not certainly not legitimate according to the United States laws. We're not trying to go out and advocate breaking the law, but I am advocating that we ought to have more creativity in radio than what we're getting from commercial radio today. and especially in some of the cities where a couple of big companies have bought up all the stations, you just lose all your diversity in programming. And that's certainly not a problem here on VCQ.
Well, George, I think you're absolutely correct. I enjoy it here. It's kind of like a home away from home. This is Radio Jamba International with the big Captain Z, the Zilla Man.
I believe that third voice you heard briefly was Old DXer, who also sat in on the show. And towards the end of the show, the one and only Ultraman called in to the show. A very cool listen. The entire show can be downloaded from the Area 51 website. Links, of course, in the show note. Hey, actually, the following week, Cracker interviewed Ultraman on Radio Jamba International, proving that Ultraman is not, in fact, a robot, as he has been accused of in some forums. I'll link to both of the interviews. Well, we're getting down towards the end of the program, but I did want to squeeze this last one in. I was listening to Alan Wiener Worldwide on WBCQ Friday night, and Dr. Scott Becker was on, you know, Alan's partner. Dr. Scott got burned on an online transaction and called into Alan Wiener's show to expose the perpetrator so no one else gets burned by this guy. Here's a quick summary from Scott. Take a listen to this.
And I emailed the guy, and he goes, yep, I got your money ordered today. The chassis is on its way. I'm going to ship it in two boxes, and the cabinet will arrive in a couple of days later. That was March 20th. Today I don't have a radio. I don't have my money back. I'm pissed off bad. And I'm going to make this parasite pay. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to expose his name and his address. And I'm going to put a picture up on the front page of WBCQ.com so nobody will get burned by this parasite. This guy is scum of the earth.
Okay.
I want to bring it to people's attention to make sure that they don't get ripped off by this guy.
Okay,
like
well,
I did.
Well, go ahead, you know, because there are a lot of people that listen to BCQ, and we got a lot of people that buy and sell on eBay, so if we have someone
including
that...
you and me.
Exactly.
And this has nothing to do with eBay. Like I said, it was on the classifieds of antiqueradios.com. That does not mean that everybody's a bad apple over there. I mean,
no.
You can go over there and talk to those guys, and it's very far and few between, but four of us got pinched by this piece of crap.
All right, well, who is it?
This guy's name is Steve Salvetti. S-A-L-V-A-T-I. Steve Salvetti. He lives in East Haven, Connecticut. 93 Hemingway Avenue in East Haven, Connecticut. 06512. This guy's a parasite, and he's a ripoff. Now, let me give you a little bit more info. This guy on eBay, he sells underneath the name of Steve's New England Antiques. And it's Steve's underscore new underscore England underscore antiques. You see that guy's name and you're on eBay and you want to buy something, don't. You'll get burned.
Anyone want to bet this turd gets made famous on the pirate bands? And I sure do hope so. Gonna be listening for that. Okay, so we're out of here. What did we learn this week? Well, we learned a few things. We learned it sucks to be rated for pirate radio no matter what country you live in. We also learned don't screw over somebody that has a lot of friends with big transmitters. You may get made famous. And also, Hair Club for Apes may just be around the corner. Okay, I'm out of here. Thanks for listening, gang. See you next week.
From the Boat Anchor's soft glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.